halfway through the next lap. Start the show. Start the show. Long enough for it to be in their heads.
Welcome to Corn Killers, the show about watching the stuff you love when you want, where you want, however you want.
And here's your bro. We're doing the Corn Killers, doing the Corn Killers. It's an earworm and it's the new
Brian
theme song.
Brian and Tom doing the Corn Killers. Hey, everybody. It's Corn Killers General Services. I'm Tom Barrett. He's Brian Brushwood. And joining us today, we're very happy to have Hammond Chamberlain in the house.
Hammond Chamberlain. General Services. That's what he does.
So everyone's safe.
Hey man, that opening is the opening to the new cartoon on Netflix original called Cupcake and Dino, and I love it a lot. It's a beautiful flower in an ocean of chaos surrounded by tumult. If you like the aesthetic of The Amazing World of Gumball and the vibe of Regular Show, I think you're gonna like that show.
Yeah, I've been watching The Regular Show on the regular, here and there. And Cupcake and Dino is weird because Netflix puts it as a 30-minute episode, but it's the one I watched anyway was essentially two shorter episodes.
Which is how they all are. They're all 15-minute, which is fairly common for cartoons.
And it's essentially the same as The Regular Show, but then they're just kind of munched together in pairs. And it has that vibe. I was like, oh, this is like the modern day Regular Show, even though the Regular Show hasn't gone away and it's still modern.
You're like, about that Regular Show, if you just want to, exit stage left and make room for the new hotness.
No, yes. So shall we then, gentlemen, move on to our primary target?
I don't have a choice, do I?
Or as they said in the 19th century, shall we go through?
Sorry, why did I not say make it so? Missed it. Wide open.
Not too late.
Wide too open.
Late. You just said it, and it's perfect.
Okay.
CBS All Access announced Patrick Stewart will return to the role of Jean-Luc Picard in a new series for CBS All Access. CBS is calling it a new chapter for the character. Stewart called it New Dimensions. Stewart said at the announcement, it may not be the Jean-Luc you know and love. He may be a man who has been changed by his experience. It will be, I promise, he said, something different, but it will come with the same love for the universe and our fans as we had before. So all we know is that it's going to take place 20 years after the events of the movie Star Trek Nemesis. Alex Kurtzman will be leading the creative team. That will also include James Duff, Akiva Goldsman, Michael Chabon, and Kirsten Beyer. And today, in an interview with Deadline, CBS TV Studios president David Stopp told Deadline, "My goal is that there should be a Star Trek something on all the time on All Access." And he added, "One thing that isn't being considered is another series based on a former Trek franchise. Except for the one with Jean-Luc Picard."
Yeah. Okay. So number one, wouldn't it be great? I mean, I don't know if it'd be great or not. But what if he said New Dimensions, but he meant New Dementias? Like, because remember the very last episode?
He's got dementia.
Next Generation. Yeah. Right.
Oh, I thought you were gonna go somewhere else with that.
Oh,
because that just makes me sad.
Well, no. But also like okay, look. I encountered some people who didn't like Logan because it was a bummer of a movie. Meanwhile, I thought it was one of the greatest artistic achievements in all of comic book storytelling, full stop. Mm-hmm. If we're seeing Twilight Years Picard and maybe his adventure is small and Twilight Picard centric, I would be so on board with that.
That's a tough one to pull off, but if they pulled it off, that would be brilliant.
It would be the best Star Wars anything ever, right? Right?
I think it would be a
Star Trek. Hammond, what do you think of that?
Or Star Wars. Yeah. You know what? Maybe that's the new dimensions he's talking about, is he goes over to Star Wars.
I thought you were going to say he goes to another dimension, meaning like an alternate universe or something.
Possibly.
I want to be excited about this, but I'm kind of with Tom on the idea that demented Picard is going to be sad and weird and all over the place, and I don't know if I'm okay with that.
What's funny is like every word you're saying, my grin is getting bigger as I realize, you know what? That's what it looks like when you have an expanded universe that is ready to explore increasingly interesting and unusual corners. It's something that I've hoped that Disney would make possible for the Star Wars universe. But it occurs to me reading this that, oh, wait, the bizarre, peculiar, interesting stories that I'm seeking desperately maybe exist in the Star Trek universe instead.
I just wish they would do it with other characters, introduce us to new ships, introduce us to new stuff like they've done. I mean, Discovery's great, but they jumped, you know, into season one. We're already talking Enterprise. I mean, we know them. Let's move on to something different.
Well, and that's what David Stopf is saying. He's like, we're doing the Patrick Stewart thing because Patrick Stewart. Come on. If you can convince Patrick Stewart to do something, you do it. But other than that, we want to tell new stories. So it sounds like you're going to get your wish there. I mean, there is something Brian's ignited something in my head. There is something where you just tell Patrick Stewart, like, act.
Well,
old Picard. And don't forget, Journey's End, the final episode of Star Trek Next Generation, is unclear whether the events in it were illusions created by Q or actual canon stuff. So you could change all that stuff and just say, oh, that was Q stuff. That didn't really happen. This is really happening to Picard. Something totally free and interesting.
Try this on for size. Imagine a series. And again, no inside knowledge. And I don't even know if this would be a good idea or not. But it certainly would be interesting if the series was about the caretakers of Picard in his later days, who's spending all his time in the holodeck having adventures. So half of every episode is individual standalone adventures with our favorite Jean-Luc Picard, but then also the reality of elder care. Like that's the kind of nutty stuff that would be amazing to me, that for anybody to try, full stop.
Or, I mean, I got it. It's Bosom Buddies with Q and Picard as roommates.
Yes, that'll be an episode. And then it'll be good for one episode, and then we'll move on to something else.
There is a magic, and you're putting this together for me as we talk about it, you guys. There is a magic to what they did with Professor X, played by Patrick Stewart, which probably gave them this idea.
Right.
Where he is still Professor X and still has his powers, but he can't control them because he's old. And there is a story to be told there. Whether it's the holodeck thing or whether it's him being pulled into a mission against his will, and captured because of his legend, and he can't actually do the things that he used to do, but occasionally shows those flashes of brilliance still.
You can almost see in the trailer at some point the music drops, and then there's a pause, and then you see his face, and he goes, I thought I'd put all this behind me.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and you're like, Picard is awesome, yeah. The movie, TV show. Like, it'd be great. It'd be great.
Then we could have the spinoff of Retirement Freaks.
Well, which directed by Jonathan Frakes, and that also would be amazing. And then you find out that it's his brother Tom the entire time.
That's a good pull. I think too. They're talking about the fact that, like, hey, all these characters would still exist. Riker and maybe Picard is married to Beverly Crusher. Like, you could have guest appearances. And that's another place where you can be brilliant or be awful, right? Like, they have to be motivated. But if they are, and you have this world to play in where Marina Sirtis and everybody are still around and you can pull them in and they're willing to do it, it could provide, as long as you're doing it because the story wants it, not because you want the actor on set, I think it could be brilliant.
What if, just throwing this out here, big surprise, they keep this a secret all the way until the premiere, his caretaker is Wesley, an adult Wesley.
Oh, yes. And let Will redeem that character. Will has a very complicated relationship with that character and loves Star Trek. Give Will Wheaton closure with Wesley Crusher and give him a chance to prove all of us wrong.
Secretly be the star of the show. But you would never call it that in public. Instead, you make it about Picard. But guess what? Guess who the real star of the show turns out to be?
That gave me a little bit of goosebumps right there.
Right? Right? Yeah. I mean, there's so many possibilities.
If that happens, then I'm going to call you a genius. I'll be okay with that. If it doesn't, I might point and giggle.
All right. Well, that's fine. I'm good either way.
Speaking of Star Wars earlier, as part of a New York Times article about Disney president of marketing Ricky Strauss taking over Disney streaming service. I mean, don't forget, all that Star Trek we talked about is on CBS All Access. That is the new trend. Take your fan-loved properties, put them on the streaming service to drive people into them. Disney doing it with Star Wars. Apparently, he dropped a few tidbits. That is Ricky Strauss from Disney dropped a few tidbits about the Jon Favreau run live action Star Wars show. We already knew it was going to be set 7 years after Return of the Jedi. But they also had this throwaway line in the New York Times article that the Star Wars series will run for 10 episodes with an estimated budget at around $100 million.
That's common for a 10 episode TV series, right?
No, $10 million an episode. Oh, really? A lot of money. Yeah.
So that's Game of Thrones.
Was $10 million an episode their previous season, and they're talking about being $15 million an episode this coming season, and everybody thinks that's crazy.
So you're
saying you would spend that much money?
The only historical precedent to spend this amount of money per episode is for truly extraordinary television,
like Friends
or the Golden Girls,
because they were making $1 million an episode.
Or the Big Bang Theory. Those guys make millions each.
Big Bang Theory.
I mean, Friends is okay, but I prefer Joey. They're for an hour at 10 million. You know, you can't quite call that a movie budget, but it could get you some movie quality scenes. Certainly.
Oh, my God. Yeah. No. It certainly would hire.
I mean, $100 million for 10 episodes is like a movie budget for a 10-hour movie.
Yeah.
And when you're dealing with a series, there's some economies of scale across that. So anyway, yeah.
Dude, that is fantastic.
Yeah, Stranger Things, Bryce put up, Stranger Things was $8 million an episode and considered to be incredibly expensive for its second season.
It's tough because... So this is interesting. For the first time, I think Star Wars and Star Trek are roughly at perfect parity in the amount of credit in the bank of my heart and expectations of what I would like to see them. You know, when we were kids, Star Trek was the cheap thing that came out every single week, and Star Wars was the special thing that came out once every so often. But now we've had, you know, more of the one and less of the other in quality or whatever. And roughly, like... If you had to place a bet, Tom, do you feel like you have a strong inclination over which of these two properties that we just discussed would be better? And if the answer is, I honestly feel like the odds are 50-50 either way, then what a victory for science fiction in general, if that's the case.
I will definitely say it's close enough to call it a victory for science fiction in general. My gut tells me Patrick Stewart just...
John Favreau.
I mean, John Favreau ain't bad, but I don't know who else is
bad.
In this.
And created the MCU single-handedly out of the end of his pinky when he directed Iron Man.
I feel like there might be some hyperbole behind what you're saying right now.
But I mean, you know, whatever. He was the guy at the top of the mountain that kicked off an avalanche.
No, he is great. He is not the only one working. Granted, Patrick Stewart's not the only one working. I don't know. I need to know more about both. But knowing what I know, which is 10 episodes full of Jon Favreau's stuff that sometimes is not as good as others, although it's mostly good, versus Patrick Stewart, who I've never seen do anything bad. I'm leaning Patrick Stewart.
Hammond?
I want to say Star Trek, but I'm hesitant. Because I don't know anything about it. Star Wars, when I go in the Star Wars universe, I always have a good time, regardless of how good or bad a film is or how good or bad an episode is, whatever it is. I always have a good time in some way, shape, or form. There have been Star Trek experiences that have not been a good time for me.
Like the Star Trek experience at the Las Vegas Hilton.
Well, that was a great time.
That was actually a really good time. I just wanted to make the pun. I enjoyed that.
There have been hiccups in my Star Trek liking.
All right.
Well, and that's a really good personal response because it's true and valid for you, and somebody else will be able to say, but I've had the opposite. I've had bad Star Wars experiences and Star Trek never lets me down. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm standing on my island and I'm planting flags all around it based on my thoughts and feelings. So
what flags are they from? Like
they're the entrance flags from the pod race in episode 1. Yeah,
swing and a miss. I'll tell you where those flags are from. They're available at $1 per episode over at patreon.com/cordkillers.
I want to run a poll.
Okay. What's your poll?
Yeah. Between Star Wars and Star Trek.
Yeah.
So here's what folks should do.
Okay.
If you think Star Wars is better, pledge a dollar to patreon.com/cordkillers.
Up your pledge
by 1 cent.
But if you think
Star Trek is better, increase your pledge or pledge a dollar one at patreon.com.
No, I like this idea of the very last cent being the indicator. I would say right now, whatever your pledge is, if you want to participate, go up to one or go up to 02.
Okay. So one for Star Trek, two for Star Wars.
Yeah, I think that works.
If you're not pledging, you have to pledge a dollar to vote.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well, just like in the United States.
We're gonna report on the results on this. This is fantastic. Okay. Meanwhile,
vote early, vote often.
Two questions. Number one, are you the type of person that can absorb a $4 a month charge on your credit card without largely having your life affected? If you are, congratulations. Here's question number two. Do you get value out of our hard work and our ad-free podcast? If both one and two are true, then we encourage you deeply to join the ranks of the proud and become one of the beautiful people that are changing the world by allowing independent creators to make more independent stuff. Patreon.com/cordkillers.
Dollar one for Star Trek, dollar two.
When,
for Star Wars.
You gotta
one,
say,
one for Star Trek,
you gotta
two
say
for Star Wars.
01 and 02, because you can...
If
you want to go
way,
whole numbers...
Or you can just increase by a dollar. I mean, whatever works for you.
This is becoming increasingly harder to figure out.
I'm saying increase by a cent, like wherever you're at.
You
could
do
by
a cent for Star Trek and two for Star Wars.
Or you can
do a dollar one for Star Trek and a dollar two for Star Wars. Or you can do $10.01 for Star Trek,
This is going to be impossible to account for.
I don't know if I told you, but I've heard that all them Star Wars people are planning to do $10 an episode plus... So,
1 cent for Star Trek, 2 cents for Star Wars, 5 cents for if Bryce is right, it's too confusing.
It's so confusing. I'm not going to have any way to count
really
this. You guys are going to ask. We're going to get an email. I'm going to say, I don't freaking know how to do this. They said dollars. They said cents. What? WJ says in the chat, says, what about 3 cents for both?
No. Oh, you know what? Good point. Also 3 cents
right
for both.
Ballot. Yeah, totally.
4 cents if you actually hate both of them.
What I like is this has gotten so complicated, I won't have to do anything.
It needs to make a category complete. So there you go. Patreon.com/cordkillers. Now we talk about how to watch. So, Brian.
Yeah.
Tim Cook finally talked about the TV strategy on the latest Apple earnings call.
Did he finally clear up the subject that we've talked about for over 10 years on various
incarnations?
Here's
exactly what Tim Cook said, Brian. He said, quote, the cord cutting, in our view, is only going to accelerate and probably accelerate at a much faster rate than is widely thought.
That's not an answer.
Tom?
He acknowledged the cord cutting, Brian.
Up until this point, I've prided myself on my lack of ever wanting to punch an Apple executive in the face.
Unbelievable.
All right. But I have to give Tim Cook some credit. He did say Apple TV units and revenue grew in the double digits. He did say all the people that they've been signing to do TV shows will all be made clear soon, and that more third parties are using Apple TV as their go-to-market device, whether that's where they roll out their apps first or doing giveaways like DirecTV Now did. So, it's all tea leaves with Apple. What is happening, though, is Tim Cook is acknowledging the cord cutting and talking up the Apple TV. So he's starting to lay the groundwork for telling us what the crap they're doing.
Yeah, headline. The nonsense engine made more nonsense today.
I don't know if that's fair.
I mean,
the cord cutting, in our view, is only going to accelerate. That's not nonsense. That's absolutely true.
Sorry. Closer metaphor.
Make sure to say the cord cutting in your metaphor.
Okay. The gravity measuring machine verified gravity is happening. Also, the gravity is cord cutting.
In our view. The gravity is hitting gravitier. I don't know. It seems... It like I said, it's all tea leaves. And if you're like, just shut up until you have something to actually tell me, then you're Brian. If you're like, ooh, what does he mean by that? Then you're everyone else on the planet.
But also, I will say that since we did our last episode, was the first time that I will say that the Apple TV is a joy. That like that remote is quite wonderful.
Even, nice, huh?
Yeah.
Hammond, what do you think of all this hoopla?
I'm interested in what their kind of streaming package is going to be and what it's going to include, because they kind of cover a lot of different bases. And if it's included with Apple Music, or if there's a plan with Apple Music, and just there's lots of things that can go right and can go wrong. And I'm a big fan of Apple TV. They're the new version of Apple TV is gorgeous. I love the remotes. We still have one of the old school like pucks in the house, and it's kind of miserable to work with now. I'm spoiled.
Yeah, it's well designed, and it has become my go-to device over the Roku, just because the interface is a little slicker.
Also, pucks in the house. My favorite late '90s white rap band. They're really good.
Yeah, all their songs were based on episodes of The Real World. Shall we talk about what to watch in Under Surveillance then?
Sure. Not like you, it's all about location,
location. Under Surveillance. You know what no one's always telling me about our show? We don't have enough sources for financial news for cord cutters. Sources tell Axios that Yahoo Finance is launching a full-day live video streaming network by the end of the year. The network will reportedly include 8 hours of live market and global financial news updates. Sources say the company is in talks with over-the-top providers and bundles about getting the content on platforms other than Yahoo's own distribution channel. So financial 24, but market time financial live news, just like Bloomberg does, just like Cheddar does, just like CNBC does. But available not just on Yahoo, but also possibly on like a Sling TV or something like that.
This sounds pretty brilliant. And I wouldn't be surprised if very quickly it started showing up in unconventional or surprising spots like a Twitch channel or whatever. But the idea, this is a very niche thing where the type of people who are highly engaged in this world really do want up to the minute granular detail. They want to be able to look in the eye of this CEO and figure out if this guy is serious about his play or not. This seems like, and I feel like a sucker coming back again, because you heard me say this before. Oh, I think Yahoo's really on to something this time. So I might be wrong again, but it does feel like this is a very targeted niche, and I am optimistic that they can really pull this off.
They're not the first ones to do this, obviously, Cheddar and Bloomberg and et cetera, but there is a dedicated audience for Yahoo Finance, and it's the first time in a long time that Yahoo has decided to do something with this dedicated audience that it's been carrying around with them for 10 years and give them something new and take advantage of that. Hammond, what do you think?
I like the idea. I know lots of people who are very interested in this kind of information. I'm just, you know, maybe they stream C-SPAN for the other 16 hours.
They could do like a rerun thing with like updated Twitter, maybe Twitter responses underneath. Like maybe they do 8 hours of content and then they rerun that 8 hours with like live Twitter responses real time underneath curated or something. There's a number of different plays for them to make, I think.
Yeah. Having worked for a company that launched 8 hours of tech financial live news and then a year and a half later was sold for peanuts to Comcast, I wish Yahoo Finance well.
Hey, speaking of which, peanuts no longer being given out for free on Southwest Air.
Oh, because of allergies?
Well, yeah, because they want to create a more welcoming environment, which for people I would who think have would allergies. Be, yeah.
It's less welcoming for people who love peanuts, though.
Well, apparently, guess who I've discovered on Twitter? People who really feel entitled to free peanuts on Southwest Airlines flights.
Well, you can leave the free peanuts out of that sentence. Guess what I discovered on Twitter? People who feel entitled have a lot to say.
Real thing, real thing.
AMC is developing an animated series called Pantheon based on the short stories of Ken Liu. Craig Silverstein, who created and produced AMC's American Revolution drama Turn, is going to be the showrunner, the producer, and a writer. The network has a writer's room already turning out a whole season of scripts before deciding whether to green light or not. It's becoming a new trend where you don't do a pilot. You just like, give me a season. Let me see what it's going to look like. Okay, yeah, we can shoot that in budget. Looks great. Let's do it or not.
That's the one that was sub-branded or rebranded Washington Spies, right? Like,
Turn.
Like the title was Turn, but it was mm-hmm. Washington Spies underneath. Yeah, I didn't see it.
Ken Liu's a great author. You should absolutely check him out. He's got great short stories. So I hope they do him justice.
Yeah, do him justice.
Yeah, finally deliver justice to that Ken Liu for his crimes
we
of talent.
We demand justice for Ken Liu.
HBO has ordered a TV series from Stephen Moffat based on the book The Time Traveler's Wife. No, you're not wrong. There was a movie in 2009 starring Rachel McAdams and Eric Bana, but this is going to be a TV series with the former director or showrunner of Doctor Who doing a thing about time travel again.
Do you feel comfortable just telling all of us what the conceit of it is? I saw your eyes.
Sure.
You were just looking around.
No problem.
Looking for that book.
So there's a time traveler and he's married. Okay. And his wife is like, you're time traveling again? What's up with that?
That works.
I've never read the book.
It's okay. I swear, I saw your eyes dart around. I'm like, he's going to pull out that book, isn't he? He's going to hold it up.
I'm looking to see if Eileen had bought it. It was sitting around.
Is that a challenge now for shows with Tom is to say something and have him pull it up? And
it certainly should be. I certainly would encourage all future co-hosts
of DTNS. No, that will ruin
DTNS.
The whole illusion if you start making requests. But Time Traveler's Wife, as far as I know, it's about a couple who have to deal with the fact that their marriage exists not at the same time. One of them travels in time, and so he's experiencing their marriage in a different order than she is.
That's actually pretty good because it actually, as all good sci-fi, oftentimes sci-fi is grounded in very real moments. And I certainly know that my 20 years touring around, it was like there was the world that existed when I was, skipping like a stone coast to coast. And then the world that existed when I was home and totally focused just on my wife and kids and so on. I want to say there in the Pierce Anthony Incarnations of Immortality series, there's a character, Kronos, who lives his life backwards. And as a result, the only relationship he has is with Fate. And Fate, knowing a bit of the blueprint of the future, can handle a relationship with Time, who has to live time backwards. So every moment they're having it, she remembers everything that came before. He remembers everything that comes after. So that seems like a pretty quaint, cool idea. I like that.
Bloomberg reports that Disney sold the rights to broadcast and streaming rights to the first six Star Wars films to Turner Networks in 2016. Right. So in 2016, Disney is like, we're getting so much money. Turner's got the rights and we're raking it in. The deal lasts until 2024. Turner ain't in a mood to give up those rights. And since 2016, Disney decided to launch a streaming service in 2019. So for 5 years, at least, Disney streaming service will not be able to stream the first six episodes of Star Wars.
There's no way they wait 5 whole years. I mean, Turner and Disney quietly name. They just slip the same piece of paper back and forward to each other with increasingly more marks on it. And then finally,
it's now AT&T and Disney.
Sure. Which only
and
makes
AT&T
me...
has no love for the Empire.
But AT&T has a love for money, and my guess is they're going to come up with some number that'll make it worth it.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm curious because I don't think that's impossible. I also don't think it's impossible that they just run out the clock because Disney's like that sometimes.
Hammond?
I was going to say, I bet you AT&T throws something in so that their streaming service is tied into some subscription that they're running for their subscribers. And so they get they get some sort of deal on the back end because of the people who sign up with that for free or something.
It's a pretty good point. Yeah, to Hammond's credit, I did not specify just how wide the margins on the sheet of paper is that they're moving back and forth. There's a lot of room to write very specific provisos.
It's one of those old desk calendars, actually.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. They're just spinning around the same ledger to each other.
A couple other things coming out soon. Netflix Maniac premieres September 21st. That's the one about two people entering a drug trial, and it's got a very Legion feel. Stars Jonah Hill and Emma Stone.
Not much to say on that one, but I'm very interested in this Venom coming to theaters on October.
Okay, yeah. So Maniac trailer is out, but if you haven't seen the Venom trailer, that is also out, a longer trailer, and that's coming to theaters October 5th.
Are you into that? You think it's a good thing?
I don't know why I'm not viscerally reacting more to it. I guess Venom just isn't a character that gets me going. I don't know.
I think it could be.
I don't have any criticisms of it. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, this all looks really interesting. But
So
I'm not excited.
I'm almost certain that in a previous incarnation of the show, we showed the dog bites man in themed truth in advertising, truth in news. I forget what it was, but it was the short by Adi Shankar brand. Is that what it is? I cursed. At any rate, I liked the idea of if you're going to do a Venom story, you do it from a very tangential angle. The thing that worries me about this is that everything about the direction, the shooting, the CG and all that looks very, very conventional. And I don't know if that works in an anti-hero story. Does any of that resonate? Hammond, any of that make sense to you? Truth in journalism. That's what it was called.
It does make sense what you're saying. And I'm kind of where Tom is because I feel like I should be really jazzed about this. But I'm also exceedingly worried because they need to make Eddie Brock interesting and they also need to make Venom interesting and then make them have some sort of internal conflict, kind of a Hulk Bruce Banner story.
Yeah, yeah. And which, by the way, could work like an evil inverse of the Hulk Bruce Banner story. Yeah.
And that needs to happen. It needs to happen concisely and cleanly and interestingly, or it's going to just tank. And I'm scared that it's going to tank.
And you can skip the whole alien suit story. You can skip the whole Spider-Man. You can skip everything. You can begin the movie with the darkness. Make it about the deeper idea being somebody who can't quit somebody else, somebody who's trapped in a caustic, toxic relationship or whatever, and make people identify like, oh, this reminds me of so-and-so who can't get away from blah, 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 or whatever.
You could draw a line between substance abuse or abusive relationships or any of these kind of things and have it really reach home. But if they screw that up, it's gonna not work out as well as it should.
Yeah. We'll find out, I guess.
All right. Let's talk about what we have been watching, starting with you, Hammond.
I have two things I've been watching. When I'm on the elliptical, I've been watching Burn Notice. It's on Amazon Prime, incomplete, all of it. And it runs just enough time for me to be tired of being on the elliptical. And I love killing time watching that. And then I started watching Hawaii Five-0 on Netflix just because I was bored one night. And I'm embarrassingly hooked on it now. And those are really the only things I'm kind of killing time with when I'm home watching TV.
I was going to ask you why you watched it on the elliptical, but that is one of the biggest things is something that fits into your workout perfectly. That's awesome.
Which by the way, that's one of the things that we've joked about on this very podcast in the past is you have to understand that the form of the art has to fit into somebody's lifestyle at some point. And all of us, what as a producing artist you hope for is that there's some niche in somebody's routine that you belong there and to join them. And maybe for the people listening to this right now, it's while they're working out on a treadmill or out
yeah.
on.
You yeah. know, in fact, whatever. Beverly's almost done with her cycling. So we better hurry up.
Good job, Beverly. You kill it. You're crushing
it. Keep going, girl.
Go.
Brian, what have you been watching?
Watched The Usuals. I watched Deadwood, Preacher, and discovered Cupcake and Dino. Definitely. I shouted out very loud on Twitter how excited I was about the show. And then somebody piped up saying, I'm glad to hear that. Me and my team worked very, very hard on that. And then I looked and it was the creator of Cupcake and Dino. And that 3-hour mix that we started the show off with, I was like, because it's such an earworm, I joked, you know, hey, take a listen to this. And I swear it's not just because I want it stuck in your head like it's stuck in mine. And then he responded like, yeah, pretty much my life for the last 2 years. I heard that song a lot.
Yeah, I bet he did.
At any rate, loving Cupcake and Dino, loving Deadwood, Preacher, all of it.
A couple of things that I've been watching besides the stuff we talk on Spoiler in Time, like Deadwood and Preacher, Terrace House. Eileen and I have just fallen into that being a regular thing. We sit down around the old laptop and watch us some Terrace House. And by accident, I launched MASH off Netflix. Was it Netflix? I think it was Hulu. Like I hit the wrong button and suddenly MASH started playing.
And by the way, how great is it that you don't even know which service it was? Like that's right? Where we're at now.
It was the pilot episode, which is so different from what it became. And trying so hard to be like the movie, which I also love, I just got sucked in.
Well,
I remember two or three episodes because they're only 30 minutes long.
I remember how in the very first episode, they later changed the themes, but the lyrics were like, we swear we're not getting preachy, telling you how to think about
an allegory for the war still happening, or we would be pulled off TV.
We swear it's a light comedy. Alan Alda isn't producing yet, you see.
You know, no joke, Richard, I can never remember his real name, but he wrote the MASH novel under the name Richard Hooker, did not like the way the TV show became a sort of liberal, preachy, anti-war series. He's like, no, that was not the point of my book, MASH.
It was, well, and it's really weird. Being somebody who started off watching the TV show MASH and then discovered the movie MASH, it's just like, man, this movie is like the TV show, but just not funny. And
yeah,
I couldn't understand it.
No, and I fell in love with the movie in high school for that very reason. I was like, oh man, this is the real stuff. This is what it was. And that's what Richard Hooker was trying to portray. He didn't think the movie totally captured it either from his novel, but yeah, he was trying to just be like, this is what it was like. He wasn't, I'm not trying to say a point or make a statement. I'm just trying to convey, like, we were there and this is what it was like.
It seems, and this is probably not fair because I've not seen the movie Jarhead, but it seems like they were aiming for the same thing that Jarhead has publicly said after the fact that they were aiming for, which is the minutia, the daily, like this is how silly and mundane and simple life is when you're on the other side of the planet waiting for an enemy that, you know, shows up in surprising ways.
All right, well, let's see what we should be on the lookout for, Bryce.
Hey, we got a recommendation from Anthony M. He writes, Dear Cord Gillers, Kim's Convenience is a Canadian television sitcom. The series centers on the Korean-Canadian Kim family who run a convenience store in the Moss Park neighborhood of Toronto. It includes the parents Appa and Umma, which are Korean for mom and dad, or dad and mom, along with their daughter Janet and their estranged son Jung. The series is based on In's Choi's 2011 play of the same name. The first two seasons are Netflix, and a third and fourth season have been announced, with more episodes expected in 2019. This is great. I watched an episode and a half before we started the show, and it was great. It was making me laugh, and it was nice and fast, and it wasn't, you know, stopping and introducing all of the characters and all, like, it was very like seamless in that sort of storytelling. It
looks breezy and honest from what little I've seen just now.
Yeah. It's really good. I think it's light enough where you won't get too bogged down in it. I think it's worth checking out. It's two seasons on Netflix. Two seasons of Kim's Convenience are streaming now on Netflix in U.S., Canada, and 11 more countries. So there you go.
Do you guys hear that? I swear I hear Fraser Cain screaming that he told us about this a long time ago.
Did he?
I mean, probably
that,
but well, he's in.
We'll tell that to Anthony M, who sent this on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me. Seriously, Fraser, take it up with Anthony M. It's not us.
Yeah. Take it up with Anthony
For
M.
For goodness sake, imaginary Fraser in my head. Leave us alone.
Thank you, we Anthony. Love you, Fraser King. And thank you, everyone who sends in on lookout.
Yeah, if you got something we should be on the lookout for, don't worry. Imaginary Fraser won't get you. Real Fraser is really nice. Email us, cordkillers@gmail.com. Brian, what do you got for us this week?
Man, normally I try really hard to have something new queued up every time I have the opportunity to capture your mind bandwidth. But instead, I was really struck by something in another podcast that I listened to. I listened to Sam Harris's Waking Up podcast, and he right at the front put a 7-minute hunk where he explained in detail why
that was my nickname my senior year in high school.
The seven minute hunk. He says that a lot of people ask him why he doesn't do ads on his podcast, because after all, everybody does ads. And he says, I don't ever want to be put into the position of explaining to you why memory foam is going to make you a better person. And then also telling you a profound truth I discovered the other day about the meditative state of mind or whatever. And I thought that was really valuable. Like, it feels to me like Sam Harris is really pushing for like a movement, a cultural movement of, if you are receiving value from this podcast, then it's time for you to be part of the club that pays value for it. So I guess maybe Sam Harris is or is not the type of character you're into listening to. But I will say, like, every so often I hear something and it rings with the sound of profound truth. And I think he's right. So let me just say right now, whatever it is, you'll hear week after week, you'll hear me talk about new magic products. You'll hear Tom talk about his new books or whatever. But I want you to deeply consider the fact that we've been proudly ad-free on this podcast since day one. And if you're on the fence, if you're somebody who can handle some amount of ongoing payment, deeply consider adding us to that.
Yeah. Your money drives out other money.
Yeah. As we all know, other money is haunted, and we are just filthy with other people's money, and we need you to exorcise our demons.
That's not what I meant, but I love that way better than what I meant.
But in all sincerity, love you guys. Take a moment. If you're the kind of person that could have a $5 rolling commitment every month and not notice it, it's really fun. It's really fun to say yes once and then years later look up and be like, holy cow, I've spent this many years supporting that person. And if we merit that placement, then that would mean a lot to us.
Or brushwood it. All right, let's move on to the front lines.
Front lines.
Nielsen reports that U.S. adults now spend 5 hours and 57 minutes a day on average watching video. That counts live and time-shifted television on televisions, apps, websites, set-top boxes, DVD players, and game consoles, and is 11 minutes longer than last quarter. About six of the new 11-minute increase comes from TV-connected device like Rokus and stuff. Those aged 18 to 34 now spend 43% of their time consuming media of some sort on digital platforms, phones, tablets, and computers, with around a third of that time taking place on smartphones. So, you know, for years they've been telling us how much TV we watch every day. Now it's getting not only longer but more diverse.
Well, here's the funny part is reading all those stories back in the day of how much video I was watching or being told I was watching. I was like, yeah, that tracks. That's about right. But now it's like it seems like if this was true for me, then I would have more than Preacher Deadwood and Cupcake and Dino to talk about on Spoiler in Time.
But it also counts the Instagram video you watched, that YouTube video you watched. Like, all of that counts.
Yeah, you may also just be an outlier.
Yeah, that's true too.
That's first and foremost the most likely scenario. But I'll, Hammond, what does your gut say?
I work 10 hours a day, 3 days a week, and then I'm here working on shows for 10 or 12 hours a day.
So
I have two shows I watch, one that's 40 some odd minutes on the elliptical, and the other is about 40 some odd minutes before I go to bed.
So you're saying there's a chance
that you accidentally watch 5 hours and 57 minutes of video. So but seriously, like, you guys don't watch YouTube videos. I surf around on Instagram, Snapchat, nothing.
I certainly do, but it's like, I'm not even caught up on just red letter media.
I'm too old for Snapchat.
But also think about, like, binge days. You ever just spend a day binging something?
Oh, that's true. This is an average. So.
Or a day where you have something in the background while you're playing Hearthstone.
That's one of those things that I am afforded fewer of than I would like. I think, you know what? I think you did open a door for me. Audio entertainment is something that I definitely do possibly 10 to 12 hours of audio entertainment every single day. So maybe I'm so heavy in the audio entertainment side of things because I can multipurpose or multitask during it. That's the best I can come up with. I have found,
I don't know what the exact number is. I'm sure I could figure it out if I studied myself long enough, but I have found that there is a limit to my media consumption. If I start playing a video game, I notice I'm not reading as many books or I'm not spending as much time watching TV. Like, there's a unified amount of time that I can notice, like, oh, no wonder I'm falling behind on my reading for Sword and Laser. I've been watching more television, or I've been playing a video game. So it's interesting. Like, I think we all have our maximums in there, And I wonder what that is for each different person.
Meanwhile, Microsoft briefly hosted a page announcing that it had joined Movies Anywhere. That would mean movies from participating studios could be bought on the Microsoft Store and viewed on other platforms and vice versa. iTunes, Amazon Prime Video, Google Play, Vudu, and Fandango Now are the current partners. And movies from Disney, Sony, 20th Century Fox, Universal, and Warner Brothers are included. No word on why Microsoft pulled down the announcement.
Because Microsoft was part of Disney Movies Anywhere before they expanded it and stopped calling it Disney and just started calling it Movies Anywhere. And they dropped out when they changed it to include more studios and more platforms. So it was weird that they were out of it, but everybody was expecting them to come back in. And then this announcement goes up and then it disappears. Now it's getting a page not found. And nobody knows why.
Hammond, in this sealed envelope, I have placed a prediction of whether or not you are somebody who is into this ecosystem. Would you care to reveal before I show everyone my prediction?
I have never used Movies Anywhere at all.
Nailed it. That's why there's a box of Altoids in here. That's
what that means. Nailed it. It's a the worldwide recognized sign for has never used Movies Anywhere. MoviePass, on the other hand, has had quite a week. Since we last spoke, MoviePass announced it would raise its price to $15 a month and confirmed it will black out big movie releases. Well, forget all that. It's different today. The plan's going to stay at $10 a month, but starting August 15th, it'll have a limit of 3 movies a month, and beyond that, you'll get a $5 discount on every movie after the first 3. That applies to all new subscribers, as well as to everyone at the end of their current subscription period, whether that's a month or a year. Peak pricing and ticket stub verification are going away if you move to the new plan. And MoviePass says 85% of its users see 3 or fewer movies a month, so this shouldn't affect most of their audience. As a comparison, rival company Cinemia offers a 3 movie per month plan for $15 a month, but also gives you advanced purchasing and premium formats. And as Bryce, as you pointed out before the show, this is essentially the same as MoviePass's old $8 a month plan, but more expensive.
Yeah, this is also the same as the iHeartRadio promotion that they had at the end of the last year, where you would sign up for 3 months at $8 a month, and you would get you get 3 movies a month, but that was $8.
10-second roundtable. Is this the move of an agile pivoting business or of somebody who's about to explode? Bryce.
Both.
Was about to be B and is leaning towards A. Like, but I think if they kept what their plan was, the $15 a month, but with the blackouts and the surge pricing, they would have gone downhill much, much faster. If this $10 a month thing is what they announced 2 weeks ago, I would not have canceled MoviePass, I think.
Hammond?
I'm with Tom that it's both. I think they're pivoting their butts off trying to save themselves from imploding.
This is why skaters don't pivot so much. Because they like having their butts.
That's not anything.
No?
That classic pivoting skater metaphor.
There's a certain
metaphor.
Amount of pivoting that is dangerous. I think that is a fair analogy there.
I was thinking today, though, that like this is something that an agile tech company can do,
right,
is pivot a lot, but
right,
you also get the image of being a confusing mess or looking like on the cover of next month's Thrasher magazine. One of the two.
MoviePass on the cover of Thrasher magazine.
Yeah.
They're like, oh my god, the pivot that pivoted their butt off.
Film or die, bro. Film or die.
CBS announced a program called CBSN Local to deliver local news to viewers of its CBSN cord-cutting news service. It will include morning, midday, and evening local newscasts produced specifically for CBSN Local, as well as breaking news. New York will launch first, followed by L.A.
Local news coming to CBS All Access. Actually, this is pretty fascinating to me because I've been wondering, like, where does local fit into all of these streaming platforms? Where does the local station fit in? And yeah, I mean, if you're getting ABC on Hulu Live, then you see your local news on that channel. But it is a different entity than the network, and this is one way of doing it. I think this is interesting.
Can I drop some real on you? I think all of this will go nowhere. I think as long as it's a national network of any variety and the word local is attached, I think people will regard it with about the value that they take the Spectrum News channel in their local area, whatever their local 24-hour.
Yeah, but it's not a network. You're basically saying whether you have CBS All Access or you're using the CBSN app, it will say, oh, you, Brian, are in Austin, and in your list of here are all the things to watch will be, oh, here's your local news if you want to watch that.
You ready to have your mind blown? Imagine this. Imagine something that looks super pro, something that is algorithmically generated, maybe possibly with a CG host or somebody in a host factory that they just keep reading lines and segments and stories or whatever. Two words. Next door. Mm-hmm. Next door as a television service. You guys don't have Next Door? Nobody? Nobody?
I think you need to pivot.
Wait. Wait, you mean the neighborhood app?
No, you're yes. saying nextdoor.com yes. where it's like,
you're damn right.
Hey, no. Guy broke into a thing and, oh, I have a cat, and all of that stuff becomes a show.
Yes. No, that's exactly what I'm saying. Isaac,
what you're saying is very interesting and a totally separate topic.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying there's two kinds of news. There's news that happens to everyone else, and then there's news that happens to me. And Next Door is the only place I find news that happens to me, because that cat is missing and needs to be
found. Next Door is PM Magazine. Local news is there was a fire and the city council's raising your taxes, and people still like that stuff.
People want to see that.
No, nobody wants to see that. I disagree.
Outlier.
I reject your thesis. So that's fine.
YouTube head of original programming Suzanne Daniels told Reuters that YouTube will make more original shows for Japan, France, India, Germany, and Mexico, as well as other international markets. YouTube plans to make music documentaries, scripted shows, reality shows, talk shows, all produced in local languages. YouTube has seen success with a Hindi language talk show and a K-pop reality show.
Brilliant.
So this is what used to be YouTube Red, now YouTube Premium, is like, hey, you know, we have a lot of international folks. Netflix is the only people really super serving that. Let's go after that.
How fast should I cancel YouTube Premium? Because I only signed up for Cobra Kai, and now I've seen Cobra Kai. And now...
Do it right now while you're reading this next item.
I can't. It's not...
Okay, wait till after the show. But okay. Why wait? Just do it.
Yeah, all right. Fair enough. I'll have to remember the login. Comcast and Amazon reached a deal to offer Prime Video to Comcast Xfinity X1 subscribers. That means Comcast now offers Netflix, YouTube, and Prime Video. So long, suckers. I'm quitting.
What? Oh, you're back to the YouTube. Okay. Yeah. You're not quitting Comcast because you never had it.
Yeah.
That would have been hard.
Yeah, but also I'm quitting my day job.
The interesting thing here is the continued merging of the streaming services into Comcast as Comcast's method of surviving. They keep trying to camouflage themselves to existing users. Like, oh no, you don't have to get a Roku. Look, we have Prime Video. We have Netflix on your box. And like 80% of the audience now has these X1 boxes. So,
and I think they've done the right play both at the time in the early days to differentiate themselves. We're like, hey man, if you decide to watch TV on the internet, you're going to be all alone and it's going to be really hard to find your stuff. We're the safe place for you. And then now the new fear is, well, if I'm with your thing, am I going to be able to feel connected with the other stuff? And the new answer is, yes, you'll be very connected. We have all of the things, and that's why you feel safe sticking with us.
Yeah, the only thing you need is Netflix. All the rest are dumb. Oh, wait, we signed Prime Video. All you need is Netflix and Prime Video. All the rest are dumb. That's kind of the message.
Yeah.
Hammond, what do you think of that?
It's fine. I
put that on a movie poster.
No. Jumped into that.
Just Hammond says, it's fine.
That's going to be in the commercial for Comcast. Xfinity X1. It's fine. Hammond Chamberlain, Cord Killers.
Does that
all right, let's get to some dispatches from the front.
About Comcast?
Shall we? Yes, we shall. Stefan says, hi, Bryce, Brian, and Tom. I'm so close to getting my wife and kids to agree to cut our cable sub. We will pay 80%. British pounds plus subs for streaming services, which after Brexit is nearly a nickel. The issue I have is finding a workable ecosystem. Brian's second favorite phrase after Kahneman's thinking fast and slow. The problem is getting everything in one place. Netflix is integrated in the TV with its own button, but sluggish and clunky through the Amazon Fire Stick. Neither Amazon nor our smart TV have an app for Now TV, Sky's streaming service, where a lot of HBO stuff ends up in the UK. So that would mean buying another stick. As they say in Blazing Saddles, sticks, we don't need more stinking sticks. I don't know if they said exactly that, but I get what he's saying. I really want one box with one remote control that I can enter and exit all of my subscription services from. Help me, cord killers. You're my only hope.
Not gonna lie, really enjoyed using your Apple TV, Tom. And to be honest, I'm a little bit married to the PlayStation View ecosystem for all of its subscription services. My kids seem to enjoy it, so like they know how to use the PlayStation View. I know how to use the desktop stuff in there. But I would say if you're looking for a device, I awfully liked everything about using your Apple TV.
And there is a Now TV app on the Apple TV. I know that was one of the things that they mentioned.
Yeah, and apparently on the Roku as well.
Yeah.
But yeah. And Netflix is pretty snappy on the Roku and the Apple TV.
Maybe it's time to drop that Fire Stick, buddy.
Yeah. And you can get Prime Video. The only thing you can't do with Prime Video on the Apple TV that you can do on the Roku is purchase rentals or add channels. You can do that on Roku's version of the Prime Video app. You can't do that on the Apple TV one. You have to do it on your phone on a browser, and then it'll show up.
Flick that stick.
Is
that catchy?
Now TV is also on the PlayStation and the Prime. You can buy stuff on the Amazon Prime.
And you can get Prime Video on PlayStation. Yeah. So that's another option.
That's good. An option too.
Brandon from Oregon writes in, "Hey killers, I experienced liking a spinoff before the original when my wife was watching Torchwood. I started watching it with her partway through and I saw a strange low budget sci-fi show that was decently entertaining. Years later, we fell in love with the new Doctor Who series and were pleasantly surprised when Captain Jack Harkness was introduced. Keep up the great work." That's great. That of course being the answer to our question of when our spinoffs better than the originals, and what's that experience like?
Interesting. Yeah, also kind of a time traveling way of experiencing that, because linearly Captain Jack Harkness showed up for all of us watching Doctor Who first and then Torchwood later, right? So that's got a cool aspect of that too. Good day, Cord Killers crew, says Jesse, aka Hometown Rival. I jumped ship from MoviePass about a month ago, which was a great decision considering the service's current predicaments. I decided to roll with Cinemia because I wanted flexibility in theater options, and the $7.99 price point for two movies a month fit my needs very well. However, I still haven't received my credit card, which has required me to use their advanced ticket function to use Cinemia's services. Doing so requires a few extra steps that involves purchasing the tickets elsewhere like Fandango or MovieTickets.com, which is annoying. Now, see, I was pushing that as a feature, but apparently not always a feature, right? The biggest thing that grinds my gears is having to pay the convenience fees that these other services charge. I hit Cinemia up on Twitter to gripe about this issue, not really expecting a response, but they got back to me fairly quickly, apologizing for not delivering my card and offering workarounds to avoid the fees. Their first suggestion is to purchase tickets directly from the theaters and signing up for rewards programs, which often waive the convenience fees. The second suggestion, which was unknown to me, is purchasing movie tickets through Facebook. Turns out earlier this year, Facebook launched a program that takes care of the convenience fees for you just to help keep you in the Facebook ecosystem. Probably doesn't hurt that they get data about the movies you're going to see. If you go to facebook.com/movieticketing, /movie_ticketing, you can purchase tickets without paying convenience fees, which helps offset my annoyance with Cinemia until I get my card, but is also a handy tip for anyone that generally likes purchasing movie tickets online outside of a subscription service.
As
a person married to a woman who works for Fandango and Rotten Tomatoes, I feel it is incumbent upon me to point out that you can actually include many theaters' loyalty programs in your Fandango profile and get the convenience fee waived even if you're using Fandango.
Separate thing. This whole business of, like, it seems like the sweet spot for customer service is to say something on Twitter and then be genuinely surprised when somebody's listening on Twitter. Like, I feel like that is a pretty good customer service hack, is to follow them speak to them directly, startup, and I mean, almost certainly some 24-year-old is being paid to answer those questions and handle them. It's almost like a concierge customer service experience if you do your griping in public about a brand.
I'm not some 24-year-old, Brian?
Yeah, some 24-year-old.
24-year-old Brian Brushwood had something to say about that, I bet.
Hammond Chamberlain, where can we see more of your beautiful work?
I am currently working with Brian Ibbett to launch a new show called So You Think You've Got the Talent to Be America's Next Top Podcasting Idol. Thomas Coach.
Just and, rolls off the tongue.
The Kickstarter is running currently. It's to fund the project. To enter to be a contestant is free. There's a link at the bottom of the page to do that. If you are a podcaster that is relatively new, less than 5 years, apply and Tom can help you, will coach you to be better.
Make it work.
I think that'll be the only advice he offers is, in fact, Tom will be played by a poster of Tom and the words make it work.
Keep going, Hammond. I was just slipping that in. I apologize for throwing you off.
This is the type of top level encouragement you're going to get from Tom Merritt if you get involved in this project.
So here's the thing, though, is Brian did the math and I actually jumped in and kind of finished it up. There's like 70 plus years of podcasting experience on between the judges and Tom as a coach and Brian as a host. If you have any kind of desires to learn, this is a show that will teach you. If it's a show that you want to compete in and get better at, this is a show. If you want to be entertained by the tropes of reality TV, this is the thing. So go check out the Kickstarter, support it if you want, enter if you have the desire, and it'll be fun.
So this will be a podcast about how to be a good podcaster. It'll be a widely available platform where somebody can either show up to face the harsh truth of what they need to improve or be an amazing showcase of a talent that they didn't realize that they were talented at.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll see if it goes anywhere. Sorry.
It's a brilliant idea, Hammond.
It's a brilliant idea, and I'm really, really excited about it, man.
Hammond, where do they go to find out more?
Oh, go to Kickstarter and search for Brian Ibbett or America's Next Top Podcasting Idol.
Excellent. Folks, our website is cordkillers.com. Our email address is cordkillers@gmail.com. We're live on twitch.tv/nightattack, which is also carried on diamondclub.tv. Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. We'll cut your cord again next week.
Hey guys, Brian and Tom here, and it's just the same old message at the end of the credits, just like always.
That's right, Brian. Nothing new here except your name showing up.
Oh my gosh, I've got a name.
You just supported us on Patreon.
Yeah, all those $5 donors, look at that. That's your name in pixels. We're going to make you famous, kid. Put your
name
in pixels on the internet.
There's some classic names in there. But some of you are new. Some of you aren't there. It's sad. What can they do, Brian?
I mean, they could go to patreon.com/cordkillers and pledge $5 an episode and be one of these amazing people. Like this one.
Amazing.
Oh, look at that name right there.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.